The debate over right to work is continuing at this hour in the State Assembly. The debate is expected to be cut off at 9 o'clock this morning. The Republican-controlled Assembly is then expected to pass the right to work bill, which prohibits a unionized private sector business from requiring an employee to pay union dues, and the bill will be sent to Governor Walker's desk. Governor Walker promised to sign it on Monday, and then just about immediately it will take effect. We will get an update on the right to work issue at the end of this hour. We will be welcoming in Sean Johnson, who is over at the state capitol and has been all night long. He will give us an update on where things stand, and we will give you an opportunity to sound off on how you feel about Wisconsin becoming the 25th right-to-work state. That will happen at approximately 10 minutes to 8 o'clock. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, March 6th. For most of this hour, we are going to talk about another proposed state budget cut. It's one that is worrying supporters of renewable energy research and development. Governor Walker's budget calls for eliminating funding for a bioenergy research center that is based on the UW-Madison campus. We are going to talk with a guest from the Wisconsin Energy Research Institute who will tell us what this cut might mean, and we will welcome your questions and your reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Mary Blanchard. She is the Associate Director of the Wisconsin Energy Institute at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Good morning, and thank you very much for being here.
Thanks very much for having me.
All right, so the governor's budget proposes the elimination of $8.1 million over the next 2 years, and this is state funding that matches a federal grant for the Bioenergy Research Center?
Correct. So since 2009, the state of Wisconsin has provided a little more than $4 million a year to the UW system as a promise match for the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center's federal grant, which has been valued at about $265 million from 2007 to 2017. And so this funding supports faculty, staff, and programs at the UW-Madison, UW-Stevens Point, and UW-Green Bay.
All right, so that's a lot of staff and people. So what does this mean then for the it does not mean that the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center closes down.
That's correct. That research center is funded through 2017. Certainly the Department of Energy, which is the funder of the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center, they care about this matching funds. They ask about it each year at their annual review. And just recently, there were auditors sort of on a regular basis coming back to check on the operations of the research center. And they were asking about these funds as well and wanted to ensure that the funds had been provided through the years of the grant. So in terms of the prospective renewal in 2017, it certainly isn't favorable if the funds go away.
Because federal matching grants want states to match their grants.
Correct.
Yeah. What the $8.1 million that funds the support staff and the operations of this renewable energy work in Madison, Green Bay,
and Stevens Point.
What are you doing?
So what we do in Wisconsin at UW-Madison, we call it the Wisconsin Energy Institute. And we really are a hub for energy-related activities in the state of Wisconsin. We support clean energy research. We move new technology towards commercialization. And we prepare UW system students for future leadership in the energy sector. So again, we're really focused on the research, education, and the industrial outreach. We support a number of faculty who are consultants in engineering and bioprocessing to a number of different industries across the state. There are a number of different examples of how our research has been moving into the private sector as well.
So in essence, and I'm just trying to boil this down, should this budget cut, proposed cut, come to pass, this means that the staffing of the Wisconsin Energy Institute would be eliminated.
I mean, essentially, we have about 50 people who are in all or in part funded off of this particular line item in the state budget. Certainly, they could be redeployed in other areas, but the functionality of what we're doing to support energy research in the state of Wisconsin would go away.
Yeah, and what are some of the energy research issues that you are doing?
So to give you some examples of activities, we have there's a technology that was invented or discovered as part of the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center where a team developed or discovered a chemical called gamma valerolactone, or GVL, that can be easily produced from plants. They can deconstruct biomass and produce sugars that can be chemically or biologically upgraded into biofuels or chemicals. Because it's created from plant material, it's both renewable and more affordable than conversion methods requiring expensive chemicals or enzymes. There's a startup company called Glucan Biorenewables that's looking to apply the GVL technology in a northern Wisconsin paper mill. The WEI funded the initial scale-up of this technology, and at the paper mill, what they think will happen is that they'll be able to produce a higher quality pulp and valuable co-products that will give a higher economic yield for that paper mill.
Yeah, so you have these types of projects going on around the state. You're doing this kind of research. What is your thought on what this means for the future of this kind of research in Wisconsin should this cut come to pass?
I mean, what we really see is that Wisconsin industries really need innovation, right? Because that's where they get their competitive advantage. And so what we really want to be is that connector who's taking the innovations coming out of one of the nation's largest research institutions and help connect them to Wisconsin's industries so that they can get that competitive advantage and we can grow our economy and create jobs here. I mean, that's really what we want to do. And we really see energy as this incredibly important sector. I mean, all industries use energy, either as an input or they're making products that use energy. So if you have technologies that can improve the efficiency of their manufacturing processes or provide them with product characteristics that could be a competitive advantage in the marketplace, I mean, that's really a benefit for Wisconsin's economy.
Yeah, and obviously you are the associate director of the Wisconsin Energy Institute, and obviously you are affected by this budget cut. But tell us why the state should fund this Wisconsin Energy Institute at the tune of $4 million a year.
I mean, I think that the energy research is so important. Energy basically supports our standards of living and completely drives our economy. I mean, we wouldn't have economic activity without energy. And so, again, making these connections of energy research sort of across all sectors, whether it's engine research or heat transfer fluids that can really improve the efficiency of electricity generation. These are really important things that can help improve the functioning of industries in Wisconsin, give them a competitive advantage, and we really think it should be valued by the state.
And when you say energy needs, is it all energy, or do you have a special focus on renewable energy?
We do focus on renewable energy, but we do also work for energy efficiency. If there are ways that we can improve the functioning of electrical machines or the generation of energy, I mean, all of those are things that we care about and are looking to promote.
Yeah. Is this a blow, then, to renewable energy and energy efficiency in Wisconsin?
I mean, I would say that it would be. You know, that this is, we think that this is very important work, and that that it will be a loss to the state of Wisconsin not to have this as a resource.
We will welcome your questions for Mary Blanchard, who is the Associate Director of the Wisconsin Energy Institute at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, about this proposed cut, $8.1 million cut in funding over the next 2 years. And we welcome your questions and reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about a proposed cut in the state budget that would eliminate the state funding for the Wisconsin Energy Institute. We are talking with Mary Blanchard, the Associate Director of the Wisconsin Energy Institute at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, about what this $8.1 million cut in funding over the next 2 years would mean for the Wisconsin Energy Institute and the research and development that takes place through the Wisconsin Energy Institute. And we welcome your questions and your reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And I'm just going to clarify, Mary, the Wisconsin Energy Institute was created to support and utilize the research going on at the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center, which is still being funded through 2017 with a very large federal grant.
That's correct. So that is one of the largest grants ever received by the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and it's been valued at $265 million over the 10 years since it was awarded in 2007. So it'll be funded for another 2 years through 2017.
And but the fear is that if the state does not provide some matching funds, that possibly in 2017, when the grant comes up for renewal from the federal government, that the federal government might rethink giving the money to the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center.
I mean, it's a prospective opportunity right now, you know, that the federal government is still making a decision about whether there will be an opportunity for a renewal in 2017 and what that might look like. But certainly in whatever form that there is an opportunity in 2017 to continue the work of the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center, it would be damaged by the lack of the funding. You know, that, again, was created to help leverage that research for the benefit of the state of Wisconsin.
And the Bioenergy Research Center develops technologies to convert wood chips, native grasses, corn stalks, and the like into energy. That's its main function?
Correct, and it really looks at the full life cycle of that. So are there ways to develop characteristics in feedstocks that would make, so that would be the trees or the switchgrass or the corn stover, are there ways to make them easier to break down? Are there ways to deconstruct or take apart the biomass in order to access the sugars for conversion more easily and more cost-effectively? And then also look at conversion technologies themselves. So how do you actually convert the sugars into fuels and what and various types of fuels? And then they're also, and this is really key to what happens at the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center, is there's a very strong sustainability component to it as well. You know, in terms of how can we do this in a way that can continue into the future. And so how do we maintain the soil health if we take all of the corn stover off of an acre of land? You know, what are the things that we need to do to make sure that birds and bees have habitat if we're using land for growing bioenergy feedstocks? And so there's a lot of information that's really been valuable for in terms of a knowledge base for farmers on the sustainability front as well that that I think, you know, can really benefit Wisconsin's farmers. And it, you know, this really offers a lot of opportunity for the agricultural community, you know, as well as the forestry sectors in Wisconsin.
And what you were doing with the what you are doing with the Wisconsin Energy Institute is you're using some of this research done by the Bioenergy Research Center, and you're working with businesses, and you're advancing this research, and you're applying this research, and you're getting it, getting it used.
Correct, right. Mm-hmm. So we are really looking to take this out into the private sector. I mean, I think that technologies, you know, energy technologies are wonderful, but they only are really valuable if they actually get deployed, right? So it's really important for us to sort of support the full ecosystem of the technology development, you know, from the basic research to more applied research, and then to make sure that it gets carried out into industry. You know, and again, that offers the economic benefits for these companies to have new products to market. You know, in the bioenergy space, you know, certainly being able to convert feedstocks into fuels or chemicals can offer a big advantage in terms of new markets for farmers and the forestry sector, but also it advantages for the manufacturing sectors as well.
Kelly on Facebook says, this is very short-sighted in my book, but hey, maybe another university in another state will benefit, and then that state can benefit from the startups. Well, you don't have to is that a concern?
I mean, I think we certainly want to be able to, and we do have a number of startup companies here in the energy sector, and we would like to be able to grow that number. You know, so I mean, we do think that the state support is really critical to being able to attract these research grants and create centers like this that develop a whole level of expertise for the state of Wisconsin. I do think it is a concern.
Let's take a call from Patrick in Greenfield. Hello, Patrick.
Good morning, Joy, and good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
This really concerns me about how the Walker administration and Republicans in general are always touting that they're so in favor of allowing new people to do things. You know, they're always saying that they're for the entrepreneurs, but entrepreneurs are always looking for technology that they can develop in the private sector. This certainly will put a stop to that, and it'll probably drive anyone in Wisconsin who wants to do the variety of benefits that this project would be an incubator for to look elsewhere. And it's actually a jobs-killing move on the part of the Walker administration and Republicans. And I just wonder, you know, this is a huge cost to everyone who lives in Wisconsin because our energy bills are some of the highest in the nation. And this would be something that could help lower them and improve energy efficiency. So I just wonder why they're wanting to do this, because it doesn't seem to have any valid reason to do so.
Why have you been told, Mary Blanchard, why this cut has been proposed?
I mean, the only information that I really have is a statement that the governor's office made, just saying that they want it, that they've given a block grant to the university, and if the university thinks that this is important, then the university could choose to fund it.
So they're saying the administration is cutting the specific funding for the support staff and the work being done through the Wisconsin Energy Institute, and saying that the UW system or UW-Madison can choose to fund it if it chooses.
That's correct. I mean, and one thing to keep in mind is, so in effect, the cuts to the university system is more than $300 million. So it's, I don't know if there are other items like us that were separately funded through the state budget, but certainly it's $308.1 million given the cuts to our funding.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you if, you know, well, maybe you have, you should make the case to UW-Madison to fund you.
We certainly think that our work is important and that we have been very grateful for the state's support through these years. And I think that we really look at this as saying we want the state to value it. We think that this is a benefit beyond the campus in Madison, but for the whole state, and that the state should really value it and the state should restore the funding.
We have Rich on Facebook who says the taxpayers paved the way for rural electrification, so there is long precedent. Why should the state not support something that keeps our air and water cleaner? Well, may ask you to just sort of why should the state support the work you're doing?
I mean, again, I think that energy is so cross-cutting. I mean, new technologies that can improve the sourcing costs and efficient uses of energy can provide high impact competitive advantages for all Wisconsin's industries, both in their manufacturing processes and in the products they make. I mean, and that these manufacturing industries in Wisconsin, I mean, they really need competitive advantage, and that really comes from innovation. So we really want to be the connectors of the innovations that are happening here at the nation's, one of the nation's top research institutions, to help connect them to industry. That's going to help grow our economy and create jobs, and that's why we think the state should value it.
Yeah. Well, we have a, I'm going to state right off the bat that we have lots of Facebook comments, and we had a lot of callers who were very upset with these cuts, tying it to what they believed was the administration's, they believe that the administration is anti-renewable energy. I know you're not here to talk about the politics of this particular cut. You you do not work with fossil fuels?
I mean, we are focused on renewable energy. I mean, we really have five areas of focus. I mean, one is on the feedstocks. One is on transportation fuels, looking for renewable versions of that and bioproducts. Carbon neutral electricity is another area, energy storage, and then also the economics and policy. I mean, in reality, new energy technologies are not going to be deployed if the policies don't allow them, and if they also aren't cost effective. And so it's really important that that we are addressing the policy issues as well as improving the economics so that these technologies can be deployed.
Pat on Facebook says, other countries are way ahead of us on this. What will we do when the oil runs out? And it will. Even the OPEC countries admit there is not much left for us to get. So talk some about how important it is to continue this research in renewable energy, and especially bioenergy.
I mean, I think that one thing that people need to understand when it comes to research is that it takes a long time and it can be painstaking, right? You know, in terms of, you can't think that you're going to be able to spend 1 or 2 years and have a brand new technology that can transform the marketplace. These are going to take, these are basic research. You know, it can take a long time. And then you have to look at applying that research. These are things that we need to start now so that we have cost-effective solutions in the future. So it's really important to sort of be ahead of the game in terms of continuing the research and being persistent so that these new technologies are ready to be commercialized, you know, as soon as possible.
How important is the work that you have been doing with the Wisconsin Energy Institute? How important would you say this is for the economy of Wisconsin?
I mean, I think it's very important. One of the things that we do is we work with a consortium of that's academics and industries in Wisconsin in what they call the energy, power, and control sector. There are about 80 companies that are a member of a consortium called Midwest Energy Research Consortium, and the EPC, or energy, power, and control sector, represents about $38 billion of economic activity in the state of Wisconsin. There are 100,000 employees in that sector, 900-plus businesses. I mean, our director of the Wisconsin Energy Institute is the chair of the board of that group. One of our researchers works as their director of technology innovation. We are really active, you know, looking again to see where there's opportunity, helping to provide information and direction to that. It's a huge sector for Wisconsin, and so the more that we can improve that, the more jobs can be created.
Let me take a call from Bill in River Falls. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Joy. Good morning. I just wanted to provide a comment that I think would resonate with your other callers and also your speaker today. Again, profoundly disappointed but not surprised that this governor has taken this approach with new technology. I think one of the things we're missing in the sector, and I am in the sector, I hold a PhD in chemistry, and I work in this area as well. We're missing the story. We're missing convincing the public how this contributes long-term. And, you know, one of the stories about this is the materials that brought us to the moon were never affordable in the private sector back in the early 60s, late 50s, early 60s. It was only the government, through the NASA program, funding these initiatives that allowed these materials to eventually become mainstream. And now, some of these materials, the first material to ever touch the moon, made by man, is in every automobile right now. And without this material, we would never have 30 mile per gallon gasoline automobiles or 40 mile per gallon gasoline automobiles. And this material never would have been adopted on its own by the automotive industry. And this, again, shows that the private-public partnership for a general social good, which I know we can't say these days, is so important long-term.
Thank you for sharing that, Bill. A reaction, Mary?
No, I think that he's exactly right. You know, is that you start off, you make amazing discoveries, and that over time you are able to get make it more cost effective. And so it is really important to do the high risk research and to put in the hours and the investment in order to get the returns that then can make a real difference in the future.
Quick one from Steve in Stoughton. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for taking my call. You know, I agree with pretty much everybody said already. This is really short-sighted, and, you know, we spend millions of dollars a year getting fuels outside of the state, and this would be an, you know, development of biofuels is a economic, or could be an economic, boom to the state.
You know, and Steve was also going to mention, I think, or ask whether the, you know, biomass and biofuels are better for the environment and what this might mean for that. And we have only a minute or so to go.
Sure. So biofuels, they reduce basically the carbon emissions. So there's a lot of analysis that goes on to make sure that they are reducing the emissions. So they offer new markets for farmers and for the forestry sector, but then also they are cleaner burning, you know, in terms of the emissions.
Yeah.
Impact.
And so what is the future of the Wisconsin Energy Institute?
Well, I mean, we really hope that our funding is restored. We do think the work is really valuable for Wisconsin citizens and for the future. You know, again, we want to continue our efforts to move technologies being discovered here and move them into industry for the benefit of the state.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Mary Blanchard is the Associate Director of the Wisconsin Energy Institute at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We are going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we are going to have a special sound-off on Right to Work. The State Assembly continues at this hour debating the Right to Work bill. It is expected to pass the Right to Work bill shortly after 9 o'clock this morning and send it to the governor. We will get an update from Sean Johnson, who is at the state capitol, and then we will offer you an opportunity to sound off on the issue. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The debate over right to work is continuing in the state assembly at this hour. Started yesterday. It went all night. The debate is expected to be cut off by 9 o'clock this morning. And the assembly is expected to pass the bill and send it to Governor Walker, who has promised to sign it on Monday. We are going to get an update and talk some about what has happened with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio, State Capitol reporter, and then give you an opportunity to sound off on how you feel about Wisconsin becoming the 25th right-to-work state. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter, and he joins us from the state capitol. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
So you have been up all night long listening to this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been awesome.
Now, it started off a little bit rocky as soon as debate started yesterday. Some protesters caused a commotion and got escorted out. And what happened?
Yeah, yesterday afternoon, it was after the State of the Tribes address, and they finally got down to talking about right to work. Protesters in the gallery started shouting. They cleared the public galleries of the State Assembly, and pretty much right after that, got right back to talking about right to work. Typically, on a big bill like this, you will see the minority party do almost all the talking. The majority party kind of sit there and wait it out. That's basically what happened in the Senate when this passed. But for the first, 8 hours of discussion, there was pretty good back and forth between Republicans and Democrats on this issue. Overnight, it turned into more of kind of a Democratic filibuster as they talked and kind of ate up the clock headed into this morning. And now you've got TV cameras and fresh reporters returning to the Capitol. The time limit on right-to-work debate is fast approaching here, and so they're starting to take up some of the amendments that Democrats are proposing for this bill, and Republicans will be defeating them in short order.
Oh, so is it still expected that by 9 o'clock this morning, all debate is over and the vote occurs?
That is it's just basically an informal understanding reached between the minority leader and the majority leader. And so they said they're going to set aside 24 hours for this debate. That would end at 9 o'clock. And so I think, although there are often procedural surprises around here, that you would have a debate on right to work by then. And Republicans are going to pass it. I guess the only question is whether they hold all of their members together on this vote or whether a few break off.
Mm-hmm. Charles on Facebook says, I was not surprised to hear on the news last night that the assembly was going to end the debate at 9 this morning, that Walker was going to sign the bill on Monday. Why the sham debate if Walker has already scheduled the signing of the bill?
Oh, you could ask that about many, many, many bills in state government where the agreements are reached ahead of time behind closed doors. I mean, when Scott Fitzgerald came out and said, I've got the votes, this thing was basically done. If there was any suspense, it was in the Senate where, there were maybe a few key votes there that could have, one extra vote could have changed the outcome there. And so people who didn't want to see right to work, which is, right to work is banning mandatory union dues in private sector businesses. Opponents of that had a chance to reach out to senators there and try to change their mind. But in the assembly, it's a big Republican majority, very conservative Republican majority. And so there's just really no doubt about what's going to happen.
Yeah. You know, I was monitoring some of the debate on Wisconsin Eye in the very early morning hours, and I saw, for example, State Representative Corey Mason of Racine talking about how he was afraid this bill might violate federal law, and that Wisconsin was setting itself up for, you know, some court cases over this, and pleading with the, the assembly majority to, if nothing else, delay the implementation of the bill. This bill would be implemented almost immediately, Sean?
It would. There's no 90-day phase-in, as we've seen in one of the other Midwestern states that recently implemented right to work. As to whether it would violate federal law, I mean, I don't know. It's basically a carbon copy of the Michigan law, I believe, and it's a carbon copy of the model right to work law that the American Legislative Exchange Council is pushing. So, you know, I'm sure it would be challenged in federal court, but you know, I'm not sure that it would be defeated. You've heard a lot of arguments by Democrats against the bill in the overnight session. I think the fundamental argument is that it's going to reduce wages, and by reducing the power of unions, will reduce wages for the entire middle class. And the fundamental argument you've heard from Republicans over and over and over without fail is that this is a worker freedom bill, that it will lead to more individual liberties, and that's better for all of us. When we have that, the economy will thrive.
Yeah. And so you have some fresh coffee in front of you, Sean?
I have emptied this thermos that I got last night, so I'm in trouble if this debate isn't exciting enough to carry me through.
Well, we'll let you get back to it another hour, right?
Looking like it, yes.
All right. Thanks very much, Sean.
You're welcome.
We'll talk to you again on the State Capitol Report on Monday. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Reporter at the State Capitol right now in the getting ready for the final hour of Assembly floor debate on the right to work bill that is being debated. Republicans will cut off debate at 9 o'clock, and there will be a vote. It is expected to pass, and as mentioned, Governor Walker has already said he will sign this bill on Monday. So Wisconsin will become the 25th right-to-work state on Monday. What do you think of that? This is a special right-to-work sound-off, giving you an opportunity to let us know how you're feeling about this. Do you support the right-to-work bill, soon to be law, or do you oppose it, and why? 1-800-642-1234. You get to be the guest for the next 5 minutes, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let's take some of your calls. Patricia in River Falls. Hi, Patricia.
Hi.
Yes, what do you think?
What I was going to say is I'm wondering how many of these legislatures live in houses that have a home association fees, where if one of the people who live in these communities that have the association fees, and they have tennis courts or they have swimming pools, and one of the people just decide, well, I don't want to pay association fees, but I want to use all these benefits that you people are paying for, but because I have a right to live here, I'm not going to pay the fee.
Yeah, and you're associating that with the union dues. Thanks. I'm not certainly going to answer your questions. This is an opportunity for you to sound off on how you feel about this. It looks like right to work is going to be law very soon in Wisconsin. Do you feel good about that or not? Jeff in Wausau. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Please vote no against right for work. My feeling is that if a business has a union, there's a good reason why that business has a union, and it probably needs it to protect the employees that work there from whatever caused that union to get there in the first place. If, on the other hand, the union is not providing enough benefit to employees, they can certainly just vote it out. It's not that difficult. I think this is just another one of those bills that the governor's putting in place. He's, let's be honest, he hasn't got a chance of ever becoming president, but he's on his way to destroying the state with all kinds of weird bills in the next couple of months in his endeavor.
Right, Jeff. We have Bruce emailing. The only reason I can think of that a business would want to relocate to a right-to-work state is to pay lower wages and to skirt work rules favorable to employees. Are these the companies we want setting up shop in Wisconsin? Kimberly in Waupun is with us. What do you think, Kimberly?
I say no to the right-to-work bill. My family, from third great-grandparents on, have fought, bled, and died for this, for these rules, for the worker protection. I just want to say welcome back to the Gilded Age. I missed it the first time around, and now I'm living it for the second time. My husband is a union worker, and my family, most of my family are. And not to have the worker safety protections, that's what this was about, the 40-hour work week, the time and a half and the double time when you're, you know, to work 7 days a week and not have any benefits. You know, let's just say goodbye to all of that now.
Thank you, Kimberly. Let's go next to Carol and Marinette. Hello, Carol.
Hi. I left a right-to-work state 20 years ago to come here because of the education and because of the standard of living. In the right-to-work state, wages were low, taxes were low, schools were bad, and services were few. I came up here where it's cold. I left a warm place. I came where it's cold, where the standard of living, right-to-work, does not provide that standard of living.
Thank you very much, Carol. Paul in Eau Claire. Hi, Paul.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Very little time.
Sure. You know, the dismantling of the unions is just horrendous. My wife's a teacher, and the safety in numbers, and the minute the antelope runs away, the lion takes him down. So the more we not stick together, the more vulnerable we are.
Thank you very much, Paul. One last call in our sound off. Rob in Madison.
Yeah, hi. I'm for the bill mainly because I want to point out that unions do take about 1-2% of people's income, and that income can be used to boost the local economy.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, we will have more discussion on the right-to-work bill that the Assembly is debating right now coming up in our Week in Review. Plus, we'll also have our two guests talk about the other top stories in the news this week. It's our Week in Review coming up after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Caleb Lato, and to Christy Taylor for producing these programs. This is the Ideas Network.